This podcast is brought to you by the Alien Soda Company, your connection to pop culture and paranormal-themed merch. AlienSodaCompany.shop for all things out of this world.
All right, on this episode of the Paranormal Mind Podcast, we are going to be talking about Michael Taylor and the Ossett murder case. Let's talk about it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Paranormal Mind Podcast. Hope you guys are doing okay. How are y'all doing? Y'all awake?
Fantastic.
Yeah. We're doing great.
We're doing excellent.
Good. All right.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
You doing awesome. Good?
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah.
You good?
I'm hungry.
Yeah. I think we all are.
Yeah. We're all hungry.
Trying to hammer these out.
And if you're seeing the new background, if you didn't tune in to our Facebook Live.
Which almost nobody did.
Yeah. If you didn't tune in, this is our new headquarters. We are actually at Capricorn Studios. This is our home base now, which is cool. So if you've heard of the Allman Brothers, which if you haven't, you're living under a rock.
True. Otis Redding.
Yep. Even Lynyrd Skynyrd, I think, was here.
Charlie Daniels.
Yeah. So this is a really historic building, and we are blessed to be here,
absolutely,
be a part of it. And it's because of all of you for your support and everything. We're able to, this
able
was
to
possible
do this.
Because of that. So this is where we're broadcasting from now on. So really excited about that. It's really cool. And so far, so good. Right.
Yeah. It's been awesome.
It's a new little setup. You're seeing us like sitting a little bit differently. It's a new setup we got to get used to.
I think we're all kind of becoming, trying to acclimate to a new surrounding too. We decorated like yesterday. So
yeah.
Trying to get it all.
I like it though, man.
No, it's nice.
It's got a cool little feel to it. So
it's nice. It's kind of feeling like it's kind of surreal. Like this is an art.
Yeah. Like it's, just the whole building is awesome.
It's crazy. Oh,
yeah. If you followed us for a long time, we've done a Facebook Live here. This was a couple years ago, right?
Yeah,
it
was
a while ago. God, I can't believe it's been that long. But we did a Facebook Live, and we started out, what was it, in that one, what room was that? Remember when we did the Estes Method and all that?
SLS and everything.
Yeah. So I can't remember, but we started out there, and there were a lot of you there. And I think that's when a lot of you were saying, look, we want to have more live stream investigations, right? Because
this may have been kind of where it started. First ones,
I think this was one of the first ones. Yeah,
this is kind of where it started.
Yeah.
And good news for all of our patron members, we're going to be having more live stream investigations, behind the scenes stuff. So stay tuned for that. All of the money that we do receive from Patreon funnels right back into making content for all of you. So
content, merchandise, everything that we can do to make this,
enjoyable, entertaining for you. I mean, that's what it is. And of course, our search is, our journey is legitimate as something, but we want it to be entertaining for you. We want you along for the ride. Everything we're funneling back into that to make that possible.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
All right. So let's jump into this episode of the podcast. Like I said, we're talking about Michael Taylor and the Ossett murder case.
This is a new one for me. So I'm excited.
Yeah. So get this. This tale is going to make your hair stand on end. We're diving deep into the story of this dude, Michael Taylor. He's a British guy who was born back in 1944. So the guy makes a living as a butcher in a place called Ossett in West Yorkshire, England. Now his name becomes well known, but not for his steaks, but for something way more sinister, a murder case back in 1974. But here's the crazy part. He claimed he was possessed by demons. So Taylor, right? He's part of this Christian fellowship group. His wife, Christine, she's got this suspicion about his relationship with Marie Robinson, who's like the leader of their group. She's thinking things aren't exactly holy, if you get my drift. All right. Things aren't exactly holy.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Michael confesses he's got this evil brewing inside of him. It gets to a point.
It's bubbling. Let me get
this.
Hey,
this is serious. That's evil Taco brewing Bell inside, and y'all are here giggling like little schoolgirls.
It was that late night Taco
Chipotle
Bell.
Chipotle.
I got something really evil.
Like I said, it's like herding cats. This is like babysitting. This is freaking horrible what I have to go through.
Choke me, devil daddy.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, so Michael confesses he's got this evil brewing inside of him, and no, it's not Taco Bell. It gets to a point where he goes off on Robinson, and she's yelling back. This starts to freak everyone out, and they decide something has got to be done. So the local vicar steps up and calls in some minister buddies of his who are supposedly skilled in casting out demons. They've got this full-blown exorcism plan right in the heart of St. Thomas's Church. This Anglican priest, Father Peter Vincent, leads the show with a Methodist clergyman, Reverend Raymond Smith, at his side. So picture this, an all-night ritual to cast out demons. Sounds like something straight out of...
I didn't get an invitation?
Yep, sounds like something straight out of a horror movie, right? They're convinced they've cast out about 40 demons. You're talking about stuff like incest, bestiality, blasphemy, and lewdness. But here's the kicker. They let the guy go home. They let the guy go home thinking there are still about 3 demons left inside of him.
Just 3.
Yeah.
There's three demons.
Listen, that's within the OSHA regulations. Right. Exactly. The amount of demons you can take home with you.
Exactly. Just 3 demons, you know.
Insanity, we got 40 out.
Insanity, yeah. Murder, 3. And violence. That's just three
just
demons
the worst
left.
Ones.
Casuals.
That's the 3 demons left. All right. So that doesn't...
I love it.
Now, that doesn't sound like a good idea to me at all. Even if there's 3 demons left, I would not allow him to go home.
Okay. You know? Okay. It's weird. Now,
Zero demons plus or minus 3.
Right, exactly.
I need a complete list of each individual demon and what they were.
Well, yeah. I gave you a couple of them.
I know.
So these demons didn't have names. They just had sins attached to them?
Well, it was kind of a joke of mine, but thanks. That just blew right over y'all's heads.
Oh.
Anyway. Well. But there was about 40 demons. I just
did they all
names
have names? They all have names.
They all have names. They have to. They can't exercise them without them.
Okay. Well, they have names, but I don't know.
I'm not even an exorcist and I know names, this, okay?
Yeah. Good God almighty. I just made up
Beelzebub.
Hey, y'all, you're not supposed to say the names of demons. I'm telling you that. Now, I know Ray probably says them under his breath
He's
all
like,
the time.
I know. Oh, no. I might have 3 demons in me.
Jesus. Lord help us. Lord help us. This is an evil episode.
Here comes the lightning strike.
No, it's not just evil.
All right, so you guys won't.
Brewing inside of me.
All right, so you guys won't believe what happens next. All right, the guy goes home and then just slaughters his wife, Christine.
Oh,
well, that's because they left 3 demons inside of him.
Using nothing but his bare hands.
They may want to return on this exorcism.
All right, let me get to this now. He uses nothing but his bare hands. I mean, he literally tears out her eyes and tongue.
Oh, my God.
And almost rips her face off. So this is brutal, brutal stuff. This is...
That's crazy.
This is beyond rage, yeah. You know? This is something crazy.
I ain't gonna lie. If you walk into that, you can be like, yeah, this guy's possessed.
All right. So how long between exorcism and getting home did he do this?
I don't know how long. It was that night.
Pretty immediate.
It was that night. He just left, went home, and killed
his wife. Imagine if you had 3 priests like just fucking aggravating the shit out of you for 24 hours straight.
I'm gonna rip this person's face off.
Trying to get demons out of you, and you're exhausted.
Yeah.
And you're exhausted. And you're tired, yeah. And then they just let you go home, and you're just furious. And then your wife's probably like, "Where the fuck have you been?"
Yeah, so we got verification from our cameraman too, behind the scenes, also looking up stuff within hours.
Yeah, so you're talking about this dude went from being just fucking, I don't even know how to describe what an exorcism entails, but like you got all of this shit happening to you, and then they're like, "All right, go home to your family."
But that's not it. So it wasn't just Christine, his wife. All right, so. So if that's not horrifying enough, he strangles their poor poodle too.
Damn, that's an expensive dog.
Come on now.
God, that's the first thing you go to. That's a lot of money.
I mean,
I'm going to tell you right now, my wife will not listen to this episode. She's going to be Googling, does the dog die?
Yeah.
Oh, the dog died.
No, what I'm thinking is if you're going to spend that much money on an animal, I would imagine that you had some sort of attachment.
Yeah. Well, maybe his wife paid the money for the animal.
Listen,
and not
man,
him.
Why the demon got to go after the dog?
Yeah. What the dog do?
What the dog do?
So police find this dude stark naked, strolling around the street covered in blood.
What is happening here?
Yeah.
What's the reverse? reverse of an exorcism. How do they put demons inside of you? Because I feel like that's what they did.
Can we get a return on this exorcism?
These were the great value brand.
Yeah, I feel like this dude went from like an adulterer, like, you know, cheating on his wife to like murder. Yeah.
This is maybe a stupid question, but did they do the exorcisms at his house, or did he
leave? No, this was at the church.
They did them at the church. Yeah.
So they went to church. He does exorcisms, and then they just give him the key. They're like, "All right, this is a good. Yeah. This is enough for the day.
It's a good cutoff point right here.
We'll see ya."
Yeah. So his trial comes around, and guess what? They rule him not guilty on grounds of insanity.
Okay.
He gets shipped off to Broadmoor Hospital for a couple of years, then transferred to a secure ward in Bradford before they finally let him loose. This whole saga, as you can imagine, gets a whole bunch of publicity for its sheer weirdness.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't some tale that's been forgotten. This case shows up in a novel by David Peace, and it gets a mention in the 2021 movie The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, which is based on another instance where a killer claimed demonic possession.
Yep.
It's just one of those stories that really makes you wonder about the strange world we live in. So, real quick, I want to take, I guess, a wild ride back in time, right?
Because this can't get any wilder. Yeah.
This whole concept of demonic possession, you know, it's a crazy idea that some outside spirit or entity takes over your body and makes you do things. And this isn't some recent Hollywood horror movie stuff. It goes way, way back.
Oh, yeah.
So think about ancient Mesopotamia, where they believed in all kinds of spirits, both good and bad. These beings, they thought, could either bless you with good fortune or totally mess you up with illness, depending on their mood. And if you got the short end of the stick and ended up with an evil spirit, well, buddy, they thought you were possessed.
Oh, my God.
When that happens. Good or bad, you're getting one. Everybody gets one. It's like Oprah out there.
Yeah. And then we got the ancient Egyptians who were into this too. They were out performing exorcisms using amulets and incantations and even making offerings to get rid of these evil spirits.
A lot of them, what is the term? Intentional possession and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now, in the Christian tradition, a lot of this stuff comes from the New Testament, where you've got stories about Jesus casting out demons. You might have heard of the swine story where Jesus deals with this guy who's got an infestation of demons called Legion.
Yep.
But it's not just in Christianity, right? Look at Hinduism. They've got their own brand of this with tales of people getting taken over by these entities called Rakshasas or Asuras. And I probably butchered the first name.
I wonder what that translates to, though. Like
demons.
Demons.
Man.
Oh. Yeah, you set yourself up.
Pay attention a little bit.
That one's for me.
You gotta wake up.
All right. And we can't forget about Islam, too. In Islamic belief, there's this concept of jinn, these supernatural beings made from smokeless fire. They believe these jinn can just move into your body and take over your entire life.
Have you ever seen some of the like paranormal investigating that have gone on in the Middle East?
Dude. I would love to go do that.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that a little bit, because Cindy Kazo, one of my castmates on the Holzer Files, before all of the Holzer Files stuff, she devoted a lot of time going overseas and studying different cultures and stuff like that, which I really respect.
Yeah,
because she was honing her craft and trying to learn as much as she could about her abilities and what she was going through.
And she still does travel now.
She still does
to this day.
She still does that. But she has this particular video that I watched where this guy was demonstrating the smokeless fire, the jinn, like they were trying to conjure and speak to a jinn. Really amazing stuff. Like, this fire appeared out of nowhere. It was freaking amazing.
Oh, that's it. We got to go.
It was amazing.
We should probably wait and go to the Middle East after things settle down.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
True.
So it's just from all these different places, from Mesopotamia, the Egyptians, Christian tradition, all of this stuff. The common solution across the board was exorcism. No matter where you're from, the idea of expelling these evil spirits is pretty universal. And that's the fascinating part, isn't it? I mean, across cultures, across religions, across time, this belief in demonic possession is like the shared experience in our collective human history. It's mind blowing.
You know? now that you said that, I have something to say that's kind of relative to that. So apparently, like, if you're like, say as a baby, they took you and put you on an island by yourself anywhere, like you were just there by yourself. It doesn't matter. You will know, you will come to know about a dragon. Like, dragons will exist in your learning.
What?
Yeah.
I am so lost right now. I am so fucking lost right now.
Okay, so bear with me.
Holy shit.
Bear with me.
So, did you smoke before we did this one?
No, yeah, this he is the magic dragon is what he did.
This is fascinating, right? So you could have no like outsider knowledge of any of this stuff, right, and then just be isolated and still come to know of animals that would be comparable to.
If you're a baby and dragon, you're on an island, you're going to die.
Well, if you grow up, I'm just
less
saying
in a week.
All right, I'm not talking about literal.
So if they were isolated, how would we verify this information is true, Josh?
In drawings and stuff that they do themselves, they learn on their own. So there is a certain amount of learning and traits, I guess, that you can learn and knowledge that you can learn without any like input from anybody else. That's what I'm saying.
So are you saying like maybe spirits or whatever teaches?
I don't know. It's a phenomenon. That's what I'm saying.
Well, what made you start talking about this?
Like, because
I'm trying to track the conversation.
You brought up the fact about how like all of these cultures and all of these religions
across time.
You're talking about the crossing of cultures over time.
No different than
like pyramids, how like you have pyramids in Egypt, you have pyramids in Central America, pyramids.
So maybe they aren't connected, and maybe there's just some like something we don't understand,
right, about some other
functional
force at play.
Learning that is at play.
It's just
that's why the dragon thing came up. And I know a dragon seems bizarre and weird, but like it doesn't matter.
I'm picking up what you're putting down now. For a second
I was like, man, I'm trying to track what you're saying, but I have no, you're talking about drawings that they draw and like, like what? Like I didn't get it.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying now. Yeah, because like
across cultures,
you have things that show up over time in thousands of different areas that had no means of communication whatsoever, but they all have common.
But they're the same.
Yeah.
So I want to.
And it's been proven that this sort of thing
no different than like that's literally no different than ancient astronauts. Yeah. You know, they have shown up like in all different cultures, or like the idea of UFOs have shown up in different cultures. They've just been called.
You almost wonder if it's like genetic learning, maybe. I don't know.
I think it's got to be beyond that. Yeah, it can't just be something. It's not something that's automatically imprinted in our brains. Yeah. How our brains work is we pick up things from our environment, and then we kind of go from there.
So this has to be something.
It's environmental.
Else. Yeah.
It's something. Even if we can't see what it is, it's got to be environmental.
Isn't that bizarre?
There's stories like epigenetics. I talked about this before.
Yeah.
Epigenetics is this. It's a part of biology and all of this stuff in science now, where they're talking about our cells and stuff react from our environment, not from other factors, not from like genetics. It's more of like your environment. So if that's the case, then our bodies and our mind and stuff is kind of programmed, and we learn from external factors.
Yeah.
So
weird, man. It is weird.
So I'm just glad we came back around.
I mean,
yeah,
I
thought we were lost for a second.
A bit difficult to explain.
No, I get it.
The reason I use dragons is because that is one that has been tested and proven that happens, and they don't know why.
At first, I was like, Josh was like, this is my one chance to say dragons.
Dragons. No, dragons. Josh was like, this is my time to talk.
Dragons. I already prepared that this was going to be really out of left field.
Josh is like, this is my time to talk. So let's talk about a baby dropped off on an island and then learns about dragons.
Baby dragons.
Yeah. But no, I get it now for sure. I want to tell, I've got another church story because I grew up in the church.
Oh boy.
I want to die.
Yeah. So I grew up in the church, and I've seen a lot of people who said they were possessed.
Yeah.
Or preachers said that they were possessed. And I'm going to tell you, I have seen some really strange things that the human body can do whenever somebody says that they're possessed. I've seen a woman slither like a snake. And it sounds stupid. No. It sounds really stupid, but if you're there in person, it freaks you the fuck out.
Oh, I bet.
I'm telling you, it was bizarre how her body moved.
I got chill bumps like thinking about
that.
And
then, so see a woman slither like a snake, and then I see someone else whenever they're having the exorcism and they're praying and they're casting out.
Imagine like Aunt Doris is just slithering like a snake, and then it's like, all right, let's go to the Cracker Barrel now. We got rid of that demon.
Once Aunt Doris gets the
That's what I think is great about this story about them exercising demons is that they're just like, yeah, we'll see you tomorrow at the same time at 10.
I cannot.
Oh, my God.
It's funny. But anyway, so I saw that. I saw a dude getting exercised or whatever. And... Like neon green puke coming out from this.
You don't think he drank something backstage before?
Could have been.
That sounds like some snake oil. But
dude, it was very traumatic for me because I saw it as a teenager.
Right.
But you're seeing stuff like that. And then I've heard people talk with multiple voices at once. Yeah. Different tones.
That's weird.
And I have to make this correction because it's been bothering me. We butchered the name of the girl that was the focus of that movie, The Exorcism of Emily Rose. We combined them. We said Annalise Rose. Her name was Annalise Nickel.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. But well, we said Annalise Rose.
At least we're correcting it now.
The movie was The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which was based off of
Annalise Nickel.
But dude, whenever you, and I know some people, and this sounds stupid too, but beatboxers, right, can have multiple, they can produce multiple tones in their vocal cords. So, I mean, it's possible that things like this can happen, but whenever you're hearing multiple tones.
Well, that's what Annalise Nickel, she had several different demons that would come up and she would speak in several different voices. And it was like,
some of them speaking in Latin.
If that is something that's really interesting to the tapes of Annalise Nickel.
Oh, trust me, I've listened.
The stuff that will make your skin crawl.
Yeah. You don't want to listen to those tapes. Now, if you're in for like scary stuff and you like that, I mean, do it at your own risk.
I'm telling you, it will
make your blood curdle.
You know, that's another fascinating thing, though. Like, one common trait with exorcisms is that they learn new languages and speak in new languages that they don't know. So regardless if you believe in possession or not, that is like a proven thing. Like, that exists.
Well, right? See, there's been people that have like bumped their head and then woke up fluent.
Weird, man. That is weird.
The human brain is just a complicated...
It really is.
Well, that's what I was saying. But again, you know, like you're talking about the bumping of the head and being able to speak a fluent language, that's still got to be externally learned. Like, that's got to be picked up externally through the brain somehow. Well,
that's the thing is most
of
the people
that we know of,
that we know of. You're right. That we know of, but as far as what we know of the brain, it picks up and it's programmed based off of just circumstances and things and environmental things and everything. It constantly learns. It's like a computer. But if you knock, you hit your head hard enough and you start learning Latin, it's got to come from somewhere. And that's so bizarre. And that brings up the whole thing of like a collective consciousness.
Yeah.
If that is a thing.
Hive mind.
If we're all connected.
You know, I think about the people that can like answer any kind of math problem, just like off the top of their head. Yeah. Doesn't matter what that you blows give them. Mind. It's weird, man.
That blows my mind. But anyway, so the Michael Taylor stuff, getting back to that, what are your thoughts? I mean, most likely he's like mentally ill. A basket case.
It's another one of them situations where it's mistaking mental illness for something that it's not.
But where is the line drawn is my thing.
Exactly. Like, it could have been.
Every case is going to be unique. You're not going to be able to just.
I would suggest that, say, possession is real and does exist. Wouldn't that drive you to mental illness anyway?
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing is, like I said, every case is going to be unique because some of them are going to be mental illness that causes possession. Some are going to be possession that causes mental illness. Some of them are going to be neither.
Yeah.
In the fields that we are with paranormal and everything, you know, now more than ever, you constantly hear evil and
demons,
demons everywhere you look.
Everybody's getting possessed these days, and it's just so cliche.
We go and we run at every single thing that goes bump in the night. But at the same time, there is something kind of fascinating about cases like this because, again, like the more that we do this, and the lines are really blurred between the relationship of mental health and paranormal experiences, like.
Yeah. Well, and you know, even if you go from like a religious or biblical perspective, even the Bible talks about we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. So it's all a spiritual thing.
Right.
So like, we say there's a fine line, but what if, you know, and it's something that you have to entertain, but what if all of it is spiritually induced somehow?
And it might be to some degree.
All of the malice, all of the rage and all of the murder and all this stuff. What if there's a spiritual force behind it? That's just driving it.
But you know, spiritual might be a broader term than what people realize it is. It's not just biblical.
Like we're talking about the Mesopotamia, we're talking about the Egyptians, and through all cultures and everything like that, they all had like a common trend.
Right.
But what if it's all like a spiritual thing that's fueling a lot of this, both good and bad? You know, something to think about. But we really appreciate y'all listening to the Paranormal Mind podcast. Before we get going, please check out aliensodacompany.shop. They are our sponsors. Really great products, really great things for everything out of this world. So UFO, ghosts, alien, all of this stuff.
Everything.
They have it at aliensodacompany.shop. So go check it out and please go support them. Use code SEARCHERS for 10% off your order. But thank you guys for listening to the Paranormal Mind podcast. And until the next one, Searchers out.
See ya.
See ya.